This week's episode of Your Favorite Fight is being brought to you by Murder Dice. Murder Dice is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons podcast that you can download now on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere where podcasts are available. Murder Dice is an episodic journey of 4 outcast heroes who are on a quest to stop the Overlord and his plans for world domination. If you like action, adventure, drama, and comedy, be sure to download Murder Dice now. If you do that and you like what you hear, make sure you hit up Murder Dice on social media. They're on Twitter at Murder Dice, also on Instagram and Facebook at Murder Dice. If you reach out to them, they might just send you some free stuff.
Both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Your Favorite Fight. I'm your host, David Golden. This week, I'm back at it again with my man, Jake Smith. He's here to talk about his recent big news, and we're gonna break down some of the action that happened last weekend at UFC 216 with Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson setting the UFC title defense record. And we're gonna talk about all that a little bit. Right up front, though, I'd like to say thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast and downloading. If you get a chance, make sure you jump on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast if you don't already. That would be super helpful. Anybody who wants to come on the podcast, you're welcome to. I've been very busy, so I haven't been as aggressive about bothering people and getting in their living room and, you know, coming over to record podcasts at their house and whatnot. But things are settling down for me. So if you're trying to get on and talk a little bit, if you want to talk about your favorite fight or you want to talk about some fights that are coming up, make sure you hit me up. You can get me on social media on Twitter at David Golden MMA. You can hit me up, shoot me an email if you want, davidgoldenmma@gmail.com. That's about it for now. So at this point, I'd like to welcome in my my buddy, Jake Smith. What's up, Jake?
Yeah, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, bro. Good. Right off the bat, congratulations on your signing to Bellator, man.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. Yeah. You showed me the little screenshot. They have me on their website. I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. You're listed right there above Chael Sonnen, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's a little surreal, man. It's definitely a weird feeling. Like, once it happened, I took a second in my car and I was just kind of just sitting there like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah. No.
I don't know. It's, something, you know, you go after, you set a goal, right? You have this goal in mind and you doing all these things, all these years, all this, turbulence in the way, and you got to, cipher your way through all the bullshit. And you finally get there and you finally get to this moment where you finally have realized your dream has happened. And it's kind of depressing. I'm not gonna lie, man. It was a little bit of a bummer for me.
Depressing, but because because now you're not chasing it anymore.
Yeah. So it happened, right? And I guess when it first the idea of it, I thought Rays of Sunshine and all this music was gonna be playing. It was gonna be a little bit more of an event, I guess. But,
yeah.
It's not. It was a text message. And it was hey, what's your email? Here's your contract. And then, that's it.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I'm the type of person where I always have to have something where I'm chasing after, right?
Yeah.
And I guess, the new goal is let's become champ. Let's go for that now, So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was very happy. Was extreme high, then it was a crashing low, fuck, now what am I gonna do?
Yeah, but you admittedly are a pretty emo guy sometimes.
I'm very, very pessimistic, so
yeah. And so that probably played a little bit of a factor there, because some guys get just so hyped on it, and I understand the idea that you might be feeling a little depressed afterwards, just because now you're sitting there with question marks, where just a month before this happened, you had a fight lined up and you're getting ready to fight. And now the question is, when do you fight?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you establish yourself in this company? Because the fighters you're in there with are all guys who are as good as you or better, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a few people in there right now that are better than me. I'm not going to sit here and be no, I'm the best in the world. No, man, I got a long way to go. I'm still early in my career. I've only had 8 professional fights. You know, and I like to think, you know, I'm a realistic guy. Like, I train with the current champion in you know, in my weight class. And I think that's a pretty good measuring stick to see where I'm at in the division. So I'm fortunate to have that at least. But I think, you know, I think right now if they were to throw me in there with Ben Henderson, I don't think it'd work out too good for me. But
you never know against Ben Henderson.
But, you know, at the same time, like, I'm not afraid to fight him. I'll fucking punch him in the face. Like, I feel like I can knock out anybody in the world, you know, but, like I said, I'm a realist and I have a lot of things I need to work on. And, you know, we're going to find out. We're going to find out, you know, it's sink or swim now, you know? So yeah. I'm excited for that aspect. I'm excited for the task, you know, improving myself, you know, proving to everyone that's, I'm guarantee you there's people going, oh, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve to be there, which is fine. You know,
There's always going to be people that are going to say you don't deserve to be there. I mean, you look at any professional sport, any professional athletic endeavor at all, even amateur athletics when it comes to like the Olympics, for example, you know, there's always someone who gets left off the team that is good enough to be on the team.
Oh yeah.
I mean, absolutely every time.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about professional athletics, you're talking about the top 1% of guys from that talent pool, no matter how you slice it. I was just talking last night with a couple of my brother-in-laws, and I have a nephew who's playing football down at Southern Oregon, and he went from being, you know, the best kid on his team or one of the three best kids on his team, whatever, to a team full of guys who were the best kid on the team, you know, and there's something to that, because you do collectively have these guys who are going to pull for you harder because they know what you've been through. And so when, you know, when, for example, your gym, you guys have three guys now who have signed with Bellator recently. And as a team, I imagine you guys are all going to, you know, get together and try to pull each other up. You know, you know, the gym is going to work with you to do that. And that's what's going to happen, you know, in college football. That's going to happen in mixed martial arts. It's going to happen, you know, to a lesser extent in the NFL. Obviously that's like kind of cutthroat, right? Like your spot is worth more money than his spot. And we're talking, we're talking millions, you know, in mixed martial arts. We're talking, but we are talking about the difference between making $1,000 or making $10,000. And, you know, when you go from potentially making $1,500 to potentially making $15,000.
Oh yeah.
That's a, you know, for someone who's spending all their money and all their time trying to prep for this, it's pretty huge. So I guess what I'm saying is I can understand the up and down there.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely, you know, again, it has its high. Like, there's times where I'll just be, you know, I wouldn't say feeling sorry for myself, but, you know, like, I'm just having a normal day because I'm still working, because, you know, in order to make my money, I have to fight. That's the thing a lot of people don't understand too. Like, they think, oh, you got signed, like, now you just have money. I'm like, no, I don't have fucking shit yet. Like, I have to go get punched. But, you know, I'll be sitting there, I'm like, fuck, I did it, you know? And I get, like, this adrenaline. I'm like, yeah, I fucking did it. Like, I did this thing where at the beginning I told people this is what I wanted to do. And I had everyone I know tell me, that is dumb. Do you know what your chances are of being noticed or getting this or that? Go to school. Which, you know, I probably still should have went to school, but the fact is I'm showing that I'm capable of doing this.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't just a hobby. This isn't just you know, like, I'm fucking around. You know, I think now people in my family and everything else, they're starting to take this as seriously, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, they were always supportive, but, like, now I think they realize, like, okay, like, we're in it for the long haul now. Like, there's no going back.
Yeah. So. But, you know, the other thing is, it's never too late to go back to school and start something new. It never is.
Exactly.
I mean, hell, you have a guy like Shane Carwin who, you know, he went to school and he got a degree and he was an engineer and he was a UFC champion.
Yeah.
You know, and then goes back to work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys who go back, you know, guys, you know, they fight professionally and then they go do real estate. You know, in Bellator, you had Cole Conrad. He was the defending heavyweight champion and he was dominant and he walked away because he wasn't making the amount of money he had hoped to, you know, but, you know, so it's certainly not for everybody, but there's always options beyond fighting, you know, fighting's not forever.
I feel like fighting can open up avenues, you know,
totally.
I think there's, I mean, you know, I come on this podcast every chance I get. So obviously I'm kind of like an attention whore a little bit. So, you know, I like to do like media stuff or things, you know, and I'm actually starting my own, I'm getting my own podcast up and going here soon. Actually, I got to go after this. That's what I got to go do next. We're starting like a YouTube channel. We're going to do, like reaction videos and things like that. So, you know,
who's I'm trying doing to, that with you?
Me and my buddy, Jacob Magra, like his longtime friend. He's like real techie. He's always been like the tech friend.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of more of his idea. Cause we, you know, I had my podcast before, 3 Men in a Bottle, and he was on it. And, that was just a bad idea. Cause drinking, it's not smart.
No.
So, but this one is a little bit, it's a better idea. We're going to be calling it Triggered Happy. So like, the idea is to, you know, cause we got a lot of sensitive millennials and stuff. So we're going to be, hopefully triggering and, getting some responses and,
yeah,
you know, so we're going to be playing with that, playing with the chords on that a little bit. So
yeah,
I'm excited about it.
Well, that's fun, man. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's always a fun endeavor to get in and do podcasts. You know how I enjoy doing it and
yeah,
you know, it's a fun time. I think anybody who fights is smart to try to promote themselves that way. Locally here in Portland, Ben Egli does a great job with the videos he does on his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It's very successful. His mm-hmm. Bender Break YouTube channel is awesome. So, you know, I think it's a smart idea. But back to you. you know, now that you're signed with Bellator, and you know, we were talking before this, you were saying it sounds like you're going to have a little bit of a break before you get to fight.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to maintain the focus, you know, in between now and then?
Yeah. So, I mean, for those that know, or, you know, listened before, I was supposed to fight Brian Nero. And this is where things get tricky, because now people think because I had to pull out of the fight, right? I did.
Yeah. But you pulled out because of injury.
I did. See, this is the part that people don't understand. They thought that was a lie. Like, because when I announced my signing to Bellator, it was
like a week later or something.
No, well, yeah, it was 3 weeks later. It was after.
Yeah, it was a little while longer. I mean, I could look back. If anybody doesn't believe it, I mean, I have a record of when Jake had to pull out of the Nero fight. I knew before it went public.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about it, and Jake wanted to stay and fight. And he had 3 separate coaches tell him not to fight because he pulled his groin.
Exactly. Like,
so I remember that. And then there was, it was mm-hmm. a couple weeks later. It was, hey, let's do a podcast this week. I have some big news coming up that just sort of fell in my lap.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, unless you were keeping it for me, but I, you know.
No, like it wasn't like one of these, like this big fugazi, like, oh, I'm trying to pull something sneaky. Like it didn't matter. Like if I would have fought on my hurt groin, you know, which is everyone told me not to do. If I would have fought, I still would have gotten signed. Like it sounded like the way that it was all presented to me was like, oh yeah, you were just, we knew about it. Like my coaches knew something, and then it kind of just, you know, presented itself. So maybe that's why they were just kind of like, hey, maybe you shouldn't, but it was my decision at the end of the day, and it was, you know, I still haven't gotten to fully train yet. Like I'm lifting, I'm doing rehab stuff, but just this past weekend was the first time I actually went into the gym and I did a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and you know, I'm still hobbled by this thing. Like it's not, I don't know, man. Like, you know, people talk. That's just the thing, and I guess I'm kind of beating around the bush a little bit. But, you know, some people have said some stuff behind, about me that I thought differently, and I stood up for several times. And I don't know, man. It's it bums me out, you know, especially because I pride myself in being one of those guys who will fight anybody. Like, you know, I fought with a busted hand. I fought with a lung infection. I've fought with, you know, with a hurt knee before. Like I've done it all. Like I've fought and hurt. I've always have. And you know, this time I didn't, and it's kind of,
yeah.
Now people are questioning me like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's a little absurd just because I think anybody who knows you knows how tough you are and
yeah,
you know, and how crazy, how crazy you can be in the cage. Like, I don't understand why anyone would question that. And to anyone who's had a groin injury, you know how hampering they can be. They are very nagging injuries.
Yeah,
and you'll feel like you're fine, and then you'll take a step up one. Literally, you'll take a step up a curb, and it will tweak and feel completely different. And the rest of the day, it's hard to walk. It's hard to sit. It's hard to do anything. And you know, groin injuries are not easy to deal with. They're just not.
It's fucking terrible, dude.
Yeah,
it's like one minute I'm fine, and then you know. I'm doing a sport where I have to kick. I have to stretch that groin gets stretched during, you know, jiu-jitsu and grappling. And so it's always getting aggravated. Like it hasn't had the time to just fully heal. And, you know, it just flares up. It's just, you know, I guess it might be one of those things I have to just deal with now. I mean, I could get surgery. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of, you know, I'm trying to go trying to build the strength back into it right now. You know, I don't want to get cut open.
No, I think anytime you can avoid the knife, you should. But so now then, I guess what I'm taking from that is you're trying to get healthy. You're trying to get to a point where you can train consistently, and then you wait for your opportunity.
Yeah. So you know, talking to them, it was kind of one of those like we want you a part of this company. You know, we want you here. But the issue is we're gonna have to put you on the back burner for a little bit. Until about 2018, because you know they already have shows kind of booked up, and so like ideally that was actually perfect, because now this allows me to really take time to focus on healing, getting my body right, and also you know now I can really form like the right team around me, like, and by that I mean like, you know, I've already had a strength and conditioning coach, you know, I already had boxing stuff, but now I'm gonna adding another piece to that. Is a nutritionist, someone who's going to help me with, you know, my dieting and making sure, you know, my body, you know, feels a certain way and adapts. And, I got a great guy named Scott Plested. I mean, he's helped, you know, he works with, Paul Felder. He, you know, Pat Healy, you know, he's a great, great guy. He's, you know, I've known him for a while. He's a friend. And, we just had a meeting, you know, and I'm getting this ball rolling now instead of having to crash diet and you know, suffer and all this stuff. So I don't know, man, maybe I'll be shredded for once. Like maybe I'll have like a nice, like chiseled six pack and then I can just like rub oil on it. And like, I'm going to be posting all these pictures on Instagram.
Don't look at me like that. While just you're all the time, just like
washing my abs with Kiehl's, just like, just me. No, but yeah, you know, it's exciting to see what happens next, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's awesome you hooked up with Scott. If anybody is looking for a fun follow on Instagram, Scott has a great Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. At Scott Plested, I believe.
Yeah.
Plested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a fun follow.
There's your plug, Scott. Hope you're happy. So yeah, man.
Yeah. What do you have? I mean, have you been looking at potential matchups for yourself or
so I guess me and you were kind of going over a couple names. The one guy that I had my eye on was what's his name, the altar boy, his name?
The guy who fought
Zach
Aaron
Freeman
Pico?
Zach Freeman. Yeah, I was there when he fought Pico, and which is kind of funny because after he knocked out Pico, like I turned to my dad and Ryan, I was like, I'm gonna fight that guy next. I said, you know, so I don't know. I like to think sometimes I can call things when they happen. Like, and I definitely think me and him will fight each other. I really do. Like I had a feeling me and Eric were going to fight each other years ago. Happened. I said at 26, I'm going to get signed. Just happened. I'm 26. Just got signed. So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm like Nostradamus. Nostradamus. Yeah. Nostradamus.
You can say it either way, I'm sure.
You guys know what the fuck I meant. Yeah. You guys get it. I'm that guy. I'm a psychic or some shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something to manifesting your destiny. I believe in that.
I should start like a dream board.
You know what? People make jokes about dream boards, man. I think it's smart. If you don't
really?
Know, yeah, because if you don't know what you're looking for, then how the fuck are you going to focus on it, man?
I guess that's true, yeah.
Like I have goals. I have goals that I tell to myself every day. Like, I wake up and I think about my goals, and I think about where I want to be.
Really?
Yeah, man. If you don't, what's going to happen? For me, what happened when I didn't think about my goals was I was stuck in a job that I hated for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated
it. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I was fortunate enough to come in contact with a guy named Mick Betancourt, and he had a great podcast called The Mick Betancourt Show. Mm-hmm. He's not doing it now, but it'll come back. And he's a TV producer and a mentor and someone who kind of inspired me to go after what I wanted. And, you know, I listened to guys like him, and ironically, I listened to like a comedian that, well, Mick is a comedian as well, but,
okay.
But I listened to like Bert Kreischer, and he says the same thing. You know, if you don't get out there and tell people what you want, they're not going to give it to you. And so, you know, when I decided I wanted to cover mixed martial arts, I went out and I found a local local site that I wanted to write for. And I said, hey, I want to cover mixed martial arts for you. And they said, yeah, do it.
Well,
yeah,
cool.
You know, we're in. And they're not the only site that's asked me to write for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had other offers to write for other sites, but I like writing about the local scene because it means more to me to see guys who, you know, who come from my community and move on. So like dream boards, I think they're important. I mean, as corny as they are, you know,
they
some
are
of the most successful people in the world have them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not about being corny, man. It's just about knowing what you want and going after it. And so in your case, you said, I'm going to get signed when I'm 26. And whether that was just like an inclination that you had, or it was something you hoped would happen, you said it, which made you want to achieve it, which made you go after it.
Yeah.
You know, all those things happened, you know, and it's not like imagine if you're a fighter and you're a kid and you're just fighting and you're, you know, you're on a losing streak and, you know, you're an amateur fighter and you started out 2-0 and now you're, you know, now you're 4-2 or 2-4 rather, and you're not feeling super hype. You lost 4 in a row and you wake up one morning and you think to yourself, man, I'm never going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
How do you think you're going to perform when you get in the gym?
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know what I mean? How do you think you're going to feel? You know, the people who take a loss and learn from it and bounce back, those are the people who take off and, you know, make more of with what they have.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people who like undefeated fighters who say, you know, that they lose a fight and they say, man, that loss was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it turns them around. So, I mean, maybe there's something to that. I mean, I believe there is.
Yeah.
But, you know,
No, I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think like having like an actual board that says dream board on it, don't do that.
No, well, no.
Just write it in like a notebook. Keep it to yourself.
Notebook, keep it to yourself.
No, what I did, like,
then
what I do.
Pull down my board to another room. No.
Well, I mean, okay. So when I think of a dream board, I'm thinking of like a big square, like picture frame, and it has like a cutout and says like dream, like
coming like out bubble of clouds like, with a rainbow.
Yeah. It says dream board, and then like it has like a diagram where like you're got like pins stuck and they're connecting, and I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Because like I'll do like a list. Like I'll do like short-term goals for the year.
Yeah, man. That's the same thing.
Which you brought up. Yeah. You brought up Bert, right? Which I stole from him because he talks about that infamous birthday he had where his dad told him to get his shit together.
Yeah.
So that every year he writes down whatever his age is, that many goals for that year.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing that too. And one year I did, like I started it, then I took a year off. And the year that I took off was a year that I kind of like... things kind of fell into shambles a little bit. So yeah, I definitely think like you need to have goals and ambitions.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, earlier when I was talking about the depression, like, cause that's where I was like, fuck, I need to sit down and figure out what's next, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure that out, you know, even now still, like I don't have, cause like I want to set up small goals. I mean, of course being champion would be great. Right.
Yeah.
But I need to establish little goals first.
Yeah.
Little things I want to accomplish. So
get in there, get that first win.
First win, definitely. You know. Yeah. I'd like to start a splash. I wanna, you know.
Sure.
One of the goals I think that I'm setting forth is I think within 2 to 3 years I want it so I'm a household name, you know. I want people to know who I am. Like within 2 years where people are like, oh shit, Jake Smith's fighting. Like they're doing commercials that are featuring me. They're showing highlights of me fighting.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm not just on this fucking undercard. Like I want Half Black Attack or something.
You want to be on the TV. You want to be up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be known, man.
Like, you want to be cool enough to be able to delete me out of your phone.
I would never
do that. Not answer my messages.
Nah, I would never do that.
I always joke with guys who end up getting signed, like, all right, man, don't stop talking to me.
Right?
Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time I walk into the gym now, like, I'll just come to watch a practice because I can't participate still. And like, Chell will like, he'll call me out. Oh, Mr. Spike TV's here, huh? Where's all your TV buddies at? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Stop. You're my TV buddy. Stop. Like, you're the only one.
Right.
Yeah. But he likes to embarrass me for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's good. You gotta get big brothered every now and then, man.
I guess so, yeah. It's weird. But I mean,
well, I was looking at the Bellator roster of their fighters, and they have a young talent they just signed, a kid from the United Arab Emirates. His name's Mohammed Yahya.
Yeah.
And he's like 4-1 or 4-2. I think he's 4-1. Mm-hmm. And he's a striker, slender build guy, but sounds like he likes fireworks. I think that would be a fun first matchup for you, man. I'd love to see you get in there with a guy with a similar record to you.
You
guys can get in there early on and clash.
I feel like, you know, when you brought that up and I was like, oh, really? They just signed this guy not so long ago? And I feel like that's probably what's going to happen.
Maybe.
And I'm going to be honest. When you told me his name, I was like, Yahya? That's his fucking last name? That upsets me. Like... So right there, there's that storyline. I'll make that a thing.
Jake doesn't like your name.
I will be like, where are your parents? I want to sit down and talk to them. I want to find the origin of your name because whoever started this needs to stop. Why? Yeah. That better represent something in your country. It better be something because I don't know. I don't like it, man. Have like a, you know, you could have been like Sharif or something, you know?
Well, who knows?
Huh?
I said, who knows?
Man.
Well, there's famous fighters with the last name Yahya. There's Ronnie Yahya.
Ronnie Yahya, and guess what? Ronnie Yahya, change your last name, dude. don't be that.
Well, that's one stance to have, I
don't
guess.
Don't be named Yahya. Like, if your name sounds like you're at a fiesta or a party all the time, change it. Like, that should be, like, rule number one in like, the book of life.
Well, we can't all have, like, classic last names like Smith.
It's even then, like, I kind of want to go back and be like, because I know that can't be my, like, original, like, family origin name. Like, I feel like there's some fuckery there. There's too many Smiths.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah, people think my last name is unique when they meet me because they haven't met a lot of people with the last name Golden, but there's a lot of us, man. There's so many. And it's like, I get a lot of people who think I'm Jewish. They're like, Golden, no, you must be Jewish. No,
yeah,
man, it's
not
Goldman. Yeah. It's Golden. Like, I'm Irish. Look at my hair, man. Like, right. Or my facial hair, I should say, since I don't have hair, but you know.
You need to do one of those like swab tests and see what's really in you.
My uncle just did one. My uncle's way into our genealogy, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Did he find out anything?
No, nothing incredible. You know?
Kind of just what you figured?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
You know, but still, like, people think it's unique, but it's really not, you know?
My aunt just did it, and she was crushed by it because... Well, my dad and everyone else thinks it's funny as hell because she always like would tell everyone like, I think there's Indian in our blood. There's definitely Indian in our blood.
Like native.
I can feel it. Yeah. Like a native. And like she had like, she was always into like native like themes and
she's a little crazy. Got, like, dream catchers all over her house.
She's a little out there. Right. And she had this whole like thing and like, come to find out, guess what? We sure don't have any Indian on my dad's side. So, and my dad loved it. He's like, well, fuck Kelly. Like, like, he just like teases her about it. She's like, no, it's not right. It can't be.
Don't like, call me Kelly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's fucking Earth, Wind or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I thought it was pretty funny. I do have Viking in my blood. I knew that. I knew there was Viking. I knew it, dude. I was like, man, I'm a warlord. Like, I just have to. Like, I just know, like, I'm meant to be like on a Viking ship, just fucking shit up, you know?
Yeah, I, that's not for me. I'm not trying to be on the water, man. I like my feet on the ground.
Yeah, I'm not in the water either.
I don't belong in the ocean. I don't feel like I belong in a boat. Like,
okay,
keep me away from all of that. I got an uncle. My dad's sister married a guy who's like super Viking. If you saw him, you'd be like, that guy is a Viking, and his name is Eric Olaf Orris.
Okay, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
One of the toughest dudes you'd ever meet.
And like, he looks the part.
Looks the part. He is the part. This is a guy who didn't go to the dentist, and as he had cavities, just pulled teeth out of his mouth with pliers.
Whoa!
Like he's intense.
Oh, he's an intense dude. So like he would just get like drunk. I would hope.
No, No. He's not a drinker,
sober?
Man.
Sober?
Yeah, he's just
he'd
just
pull his teeth out sober.
Yeah, man, with pliers. He's an intense dude.
That's not okay.
No. But everybody else thought he was this tough exterior, but I always like, you know, I always was like, I don't know. I had a different kind of relationship with him.
Really? Like, you got to his like soft side?
Yeah, totally, yeah. Man. And you know, actually he went through cancer. He had cancer not too long ago.
Oh, wow.
And he fought through that and his cancer's in remission and he's really a changed person now when I talk to him. I haven't talked to him in a long time, but the last time I talked to him, he's like, "Hey, it's so good to talk to you. I love you, man."
Oh, that's cool.
Like, you know, you don't get that from those hard guys.
Usually those guys like who seem scary or tough, they're always the nicest or
yeah,
the,
exactly,
which is kind of funny, you know.
Yeah totally.
And those people who don't look scary are kind of dicks.
Yeah, like, sometimes,
right?
Yeah,
don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, everybody thinks I'm a dick. I'm a pretty nice dude, you know.
I never would have thought you were a dick if I first time I saw you. Really?
Yeah, I get it a lot. People that like they don't know me, they see me, they just think I'm a, like I've been described as that guy who looks like a jerk.
Okay. Like, yeah, I get that.
I think
a lot
it's
too.
My heavy eyebrows. I have like a heavy brow and thick eyebrows, and I think that's it. I don't know, but
maybe,
whatever.
Yeah,
maybe I need to smile more. I don't know what it is.
Whatever. Yeah, I get it a lot too, man. Like I used to get in trouble like at work. Like they would call me in, like what. You have like a bad attitude. Like, what's wrong? I'm like, no, it's just my fucking face, man.
Yeah, I just look like this.
Like, I just have this. Like, there's resting bitch face, and I have resting dick face.
That's what I have.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Exactly. Apparently.
Right. Like, well, I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
Enough about how our faces look like dicks.
Yeah, because this is a podcast, and they can't see our faces.
So. Thank God. Yeah, man. Well, I'm. Again, congratulations on signing with Bellator.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. Exciting that you have your teammates signing as well. I think it says a lot for the gym, and I hope that you guys can all go in and be successful because you will be the catalyst for what could be a long-term relationship with Gracie Baja Portland and Bellator MMA, and that would be really cool.
Definitely, man. It's, you know, I think Bellator's making some big moves too. Like the other day, you know, Bellator does events that they don't air on TV too. They've been doing these like NASCAR shows, right? Like where like NASCAR will have like an event or a race, and then the next day or they'll have like the Bellator cage there and they'll have fights. And a lot of people don't know that unless you follow their social media. Mm-hmm. But like, and I was thinking about it, I'm like, that is the smartest thing they could do, because what is the number one spectator sport in America? It's NASCAR. Boom. Hicks love violence. Why not? Like, you're getting all these people that are there. Like, there's, I don't know how many people go to those fucking dumb races, but like, now you have eyes on this violence. Now people, oh shit, the Bellator's on. So that, you know, I think that's a great idea. That's fucking genius, right? I think that's smart as shit. I mean, I'm surprised the UFC didn't try to, you know, embark on that somehow or what, but I really think that we're going to see the UFC and the Bellator starting to battle it out a little bit more every
slowly
year.
But surely, for sure. We'll see what happens with the UFC. The UFC had just got into a period where they can negotiate freely a new TV deal with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They got out of this exclusive period they had with Fox, and so now they can go out and you know, work with anybody. And wherever that deal takes them is going to impact all the other promotions down the line, right? So if the UFC stays with Fox and things stay the way they are, the UFC, I think, will continue to have the problem that they have where it's like state-run TV. So when you watch Fox Sports, it's all UFC employees working on Fox Sports, you know, doing their show. And these guys clearly have a company bias, like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, if ESPN is reporting on a UFC fight, if they're like actually reporting versus just having Chael on or just having John Jones on or just having Daniel Cormier on, they're going to do reporting on their own that isn't necessarily swayed one way or the other.
Yeah.
Where on Fox Sports, you're going to have Kenny Florian on there. And he has his wagon firmly hitched to the UFC, and he's not going to say anything derogatory about Dana White. That's never going to happen.
No,
you know, it's just not going to happen. So if they stay with Fox, that's going to I think that's going to be the real tipping point mm-hmm. for there to be a difference in promotions working their way up or working their way down. Because if the UFC signs with, say, like NBC, mm-hmm. We don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. You know, like, are they going to have the UFC on like is Fox Sports still going to cover the UFC at all? Like,
yeah,
because realistically, you know, you watch ESPN or you watch your local news and you don't get a lot of coverage on about mixed martial arts. I mean, with the exception of whatever the local news channel is that did the story on Glenna recently, mm-hmm. they had a little thing on, and like, that's really cool, but like, you know, no offense to Glenna Avila, like she's awesome, and I'm glad that they're covering her. But
yeah.
There's a lot you can cover locally. There's a ton.
Oh yeah.
You know, you have a guy who lives in Eugene who won the fucking Bellator light heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You have this guy there. Fucking call him. Drive right. to him. Yeah. Interview him. Have him on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, like, are you out of your mind? Chael Sonnen lives in your backyard. How are you not calling him? How are you not, you know, how is he not taking part in something with a local news station? You know, yeah. That shit just boggles my mind. But, like, realistically, you don't get a lot of coverage for the sport. You're not going to get it on HBO. You're not going to get it. You know, you're not going to really get much of it anywhere. So,
no, you're
so,
right.
So what happens if the UFC leaves Fox and goes to NBC? NBC doesn't have their own sports channel that is highly watched, like Fox Sports or ESPN. I mean, there's the NBC Sports, but, like, who really watches that? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
If the Dan Patrick Show wasn't on it in the morning, I would have never even, you know, I wouldn't have turned it to that. I mean, you know, I think they used to periodically air like a WEC card when Versus was on that same channel.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah, I remember that.
You know, so what's really going to happen? Who knows? But certainly it would appear that Bellator is on the up.
Yeah.
And it feels to me, at least, that the UFC has plateaued.
That's where I feel too. I feel like it has kind of hit this like this level where there's a lot of, you know, because a lot of fighters are starting to talk out a little bit against the UFC now, mm-hmm. and there, you know, there is that, you know, the whole selling of it and whatnot. Do you think that the UFC is capable of doing what the NFL has done, where, like, you know, certain games are on Fox or certain games are on ESPN, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, certain days, like, do you think mm-hmm. that's a possibility?
No, I don't think it is, because the UFC is greedy. And they want a deal. They don't just want the UFC is not a league. It's a company.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so the moment that they turn themselves into a league, that's where it gets fuckery, right? With the unions and whatnot?
Exactly. But the UFC is not going to be, you know, so the NFL is National Football League. It's not going to be National Mixed Martial Arts League.
Okay.
That's not going to happen. I mean, that's just not the way the sport is. That's mm-hmm. not the way combat sports have ever been.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the IBF or the WBC or the whatever, mm-hmm. like all of those belts, those belts don't really, like, those organizations don't really mean anything for the fighter. It's about in boxing, it's about the fighter, his promoter, and where they can make the most money.
Okay.
And in mixed martial arts, the promotion that mm-hmm. has the most eyes on it makes you the most money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because God knows Viacom has more money than the UFC.
That's true.
And Bellator is owned by Viacom.
Yep.
If Viacom wanted to throw hands full of money at people and sign every single fighter who was a free agent, you better believe everyone would sign. But they're not making offers that are triple the offer they're getting from the UFC. Otherwise, Donald Cerrone would be fighting in Bellator right now.
Oh yeah.
There's no question about it. He said, "Oh, I was going to sign with the UFC no matter what, blah blah blah." No, you weren't, dude.
Yeah. That's
no,
true.
You weren't. If Viacom came to you and they offered you an additional $20 million to come fight for them, you're fighting for Bellator tomorrow. Don't try to sugarcoat it. And so the UFC and Bellator, as much as the people behind the scenes want to distance themselves from a fighters union and others don't,
mm-hmm.
nobody in a company that has fights wants a fighters union to be like this incredible strong union. They don't want that.
Yeah.
Like that's gonna hurt their bottom line, and that's not what they're in it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, ideally, like, do we need a union? Of course. Like fighters need a union for their health, for the fairness of the sport, for the revenue split, for all sorts of things, for insurance purposes. Of course, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, if you're a congressperson and you're not behind the Ali Act, like, I don't want to vote for you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't care about these people, you know, or you don't know about it. Maybe you should learn, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have a lot on their plate. But, you know, the people who are behind it, like, I applaud them. But the UFC is not ever going to allow the people that fight under their banner to get to that level. They're just not going to, because the TV deal is about them. Don't mix that up at all. The TV deal is about them, and it's who can we sign with who will give us the best deal, the most money, and the most control.
Yeah,
that's why they didn't sign with NBC the first time, and that's why they didn't sign with HBO, and that's why they didn't sign with these other places, because Fox was the only place that said, you do it, you run it, it's your show.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, everything's ran by money, so that's, yeah, especially, you know, what these guys invested, $4 billion. So, yeah, they need to get their nut back. And I feel like they're starting to feel as if they're, maybe they made, like, a bad decision.
I'm certain of it.
You know, yeah, like, they're like, fuck, maybe we shouldn't, like, I think they bit off more than they fucking realized they did.
Fertittas are smart, man. Buy low, sell high. I mean, shit, they're in the business of making money. And, you know, scared money don't make money.
Yeah,
those dudes are not afraid. They put their money up early on.
Mm-hmm.
They saw an opportunity. They ran with it. And the minute someone came in with an offer that was like too good to be true, like, of course they're gonna get out, dude.
Yeah,
they're money men. They don't care. They own casinos.
Right.
The UFC is tiddlywinks.
Set come on forever. They're like kids. Kids are set. Like, it's the Fertittas are. Yeah, you got that last name. You're set.
Don't change that last name.
That one's okay to keep.
Keep that
one's
one.
Okay. But I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That's an iffy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, man. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes like a Strikeforce UFC thing again, you know.
I would love to see that.
To where who knows, you know, the UFC might try to buy out the Bellator one day, or vice versa. Like, what if Viacom buys out UFC one day?
Like, yeah,
do you think that's a possibility?
I mean, I guess. I mean, Bellator would have to start making a lot more money and get a lot more viewership, and, you know, expand their brand a little bit. You know,
what if they bought it just to eliminate the competition, and then they did this merger where it was still?
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they want that amount of work. Yeah. I don't think anyone, Scott Coker or anybody, Dana White, whoever, is prepared to deal with the shitstorm that would come with that. I mean, you think about when the UFC bought Strikeforce and how many fighters got let go,
mm-hmm.
and how many people were left without jobs, and how, you know, and talented fighters too. You know, like the idea of trying to trim that fat and schedule those shows. I mean, imagine if your roster grew by another entire roster,
well,
and you already have more fights than you know what to do with. Like, you've already saturated the market. You ask someone, like, you know, hey, do you know when the next UFC card is? They're like, no, I just probably this weekend.
Yeah.
Where back in the day, it was like,
you knew
you'd get one a month, you know, and now you're getting 60 shows a year, and it's like, shit. So now you have more fighters. Like, what do you do? You know, I mean, there's only so many spots. There's only so many cards. And then how do you build up a fighter and a fan base for that fighter, and so on and so on. You know, I mean, it's becoming such a problem now. Like, Donald Cerrone's fighting someone. A lot of people don't even know who he is, you know? And it's like, I know it's a good matchup, but in his next fight, but, you know,
name wise, it's not there.
You know,
it's
exactly.
Not gonna technically sell. I guess in my mind, what I wish would happen, which is very unlikely, is like if we had something like the NFL or the NBA, like, you know, where it was not UFC, Bellator, ONE FC, where it was kind of like, I don't know, like a league, I guess. But like, I guess you can't really do that with fighters, because I mean, we don't have teams.
It's hard.
We don't, you know, I mean, unless you want to do like by gyms, but like that's what IFL did, right?
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
No, so I guess you can't, like, you,
It's hard, man.
What do you do?
It's very challenging. Yeah. You know, I think the best you can hope for is, I mean, at its absolute peak would be like Pride versus UFC, mm-hmm. like when that was happening, in that time frame in the, you know, in the late 90s, like when that was going on, and you had this weird, you know, you had this weird like kind of rivalry, you know, sending your best guy over there from the UFC and he loses, and the people are like, oh man, does Japan have the best league? Yeah. Like, what's better? And then, I mean, even the Strikeforce UFC thing was like to a lesser extent, I think, because Strikeforce didn't have quite the star power that Pride had. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, if Bellator is smart and they build up their fighters the right way, they have talented people that they could in theory, you know, go up against the UFC, and if you put a pay-per-view on the same night, you could say, man, which one am I gonna watch?
Yeah.
You know, it could get to that point. And that would be really cool to see, you know. But you know, that, I mean, in another sense, that would kind of suck, because you could have teammates fighting on two separate cards, and now what do? You know, like who are you rooting for? But who knows? Who knows where it will go? I mean, I think the amount that society accepts mixed martial arts is at where it's going to be.
You think it's at its peak?
I don't even know if it's at its peak, but it certainly doesn't seem like it's going to become it's going to become a sport that people are going to get behind nationally like they do other sports. I just don't see it happening, man.
I get it.
It just doesn't appeal to some people. I mean, the same way like kickboxing doesn't appeal to people, but boxing does. It's like mind-boggling to me, dude. Like,
it is a little weird.
Kickboxing is the most exciting sport to watch. Like, dude, these like 3-minute rounds of just the craziest, like most technical, aggressive striking, plus kicks, plus knees. Like, how do you not want to see that, but you want to watch a boxing match?
I think maybe it's definitely just, you know, by country, right? Because mm-hmm. kickboxing is big over, you know, like
in Europe it's huge. In Russia,
Netherlands,
it's huge.
Right? Yeah, but it's because they have the names, like they have people from Russia and Europe that are doing these. Like, in over here in America, we have, you know, we have American boxers. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, we watch boxing here. If we, you know, we start to build like an actual, you know, we have actual kickboxers from America that are doing well, I think maybe it can start to kind of take off.
Maybe. But I think it has more to do with the historic aspect of things. Like, boxing has been a sport in America longer than kickboxing.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if the Jack Dempseys of the world were kickboxing, we'd probably be watching kickboxing right now.
Exactly. But that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what was happening, right? And like, even if we had good kickboxers now, I just don't think that the American people
were. I think that's the starting point, though, is what I was getting at.
Oh, I see. So like, in the future,
like, that's where you would have to start. Is like, you would have to start with, like, you have to get like a small gym or whatever that's known in America, like going over there and then kicking everyone's ass in Europe. Over time, that's going to create some buzz over here.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be something. Like, ESPN's going to show it. Like, if the guy from America goes over and, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure ESPN will cover it eventually, right? And that'll, you know, get something going. Then maybe we'll do some more shows here. Because, like, they're slowly, I mean, Bellator's trying to do it.
Yeah.
They're trying to do the kickboxing.
But here's a great example. So, that last Bellator card that had kickboxing on it, mm-hmm. What show was it? I don't remember the number.
It doesn't
matter. The last Bellator card, they had kickboxing. It was in San Jose.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of my friends were there, and the Bellator card ended.
Yeah.
And the kickboxing started.
People left.
Everyone got up and left.
No fucking
Everyone got up and left. My buddy moved down to the front row, got a picture with Sage.
Yeah.
He goes down there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, gets a selfie with him. He was like, man, I feel bad for all the shit I talked about that dude. And goes up there. He's like, he was so nice.
Exactly.
My friend's right, like, you know, like long-haired hippie dude. Probably just smelled like weed. Like, oh, what's up, bro? Yeah. But, you know, and everybody just bailed. Everybody just bailed, man. Like,
well, you know, doing two shows, doing kickboxing and MMA, that's way too long. It has to be too long.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I went to the Bellator Dynamite show and they had the two rings set up. Man,
you went to it?
Yeah, I went. I thought it was fucking awesome.
How long did the event last?
I don't even know. I wasn't even looking at the clock because I was so into it.
But you're like a true fan, though.
Yeah, I guess so, man. And I love kickboxing. So like for me
too.
For me, I was way into it, and like the ring for the kickboxing was like kind of right in front of me.
Oh, okay.
And the cage was a little off to the right.
Yeah.
And we were like the seventh or eighth row or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was so fresh. Like, really? We were on TV a bunch because there was like nobody there.
That's pretty
at
tight.
That point. But like I had a blast, you know. Like I had a great time. And,
yeah.
And I just like listening to the crowd's reaction to people getting kicked is like. You know, people who don't expect it, when you get these like just crazy leg kicks, no fear of being taken down, you are blasting this kick with everything you've got, and it's like, bam, like that shit is intense, and the whole crowd like, oh, like you hear the whole crowd, and it's like, man, how do you not want to be a part of that? Yeah. I don't know, it drives me fucking crazy, but
I don't know, man. I just know like sometimes like I'll go to like MMA fight, and I'll be sitting there, I'm like, fuck, is this over yet? Because like, mm-hmm. what was it, Bellator New York? They did two main events,
mm-hmm.
right? So like, they had the Phil Davis and Ryan Bader was the main event for Spike card, and then it transferred over to the pay per view, right? So it was almost as if we watched two shows, and it was long. Like we didn't get out until like 1:30, 2 in the morning.
Well, it's East Coast though, man.
East Coast, but still, it was like fuck. You know, I mean, that's still what 11 mm-hmm. over here.
Yeah, it was
like,
late.
That's still pretty late.
It was late.
You know?
I watched. It was late.
Yeah,
it was late. But man, I mean, how do you even stay awake after that Phil Davis Ryan Bader fight? Jesus Christ, that was the most boring fight I've ever seen. Those dudes were destined to have boring fights together.
Yeah,
like that's all there is to it.
It's like, styles, man.
Man, apparently those two could not have. I mean, they couldn't have a good fight if their lives were on the line. It was crazy. Like yeah. I don't know. I've never been a huge Phil Davis fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of think Ryan Bader is an underrated fighter. He has underrated striking. He obviously has great wrestling, but like, I think his striking is pretty underrated. If you go back and watch his fight against Glover Teixeira in the UFC,
he rocked him.
He is winning that fight with his hands before Glover knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Glover catches anybody, you're hitting the ground, but like he looked pretty good. And I kind of like Ryan Bader a little bit. I mean. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's like I don't think he's ever destined to be a UFC champion or anything like that.
Yeah,
but Phil Davis never really did it for me. But man, those two cannot have an exciting fight to save their lives. But
see, I'm more of a Phil Davis guy. I hate Ryan Bader. I can't stand him.
Yeah, but Phil Davis's freaky shoulders don't weird you out.
You know what? His upper body, like, it's so wide, like it goes up, like. He straight up is V'd out. Like, he legitimate. If you think of a V'd out person, he is V'd out.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a wings. He kind of looks like a superhero. But, he's got the weirdest shoulders.
He does. He has a weird body.
Yeah, he's got a weird build.
Which, you know, I met Phil, and he was super nice. Like,
I'm sure.
He was sharing the same warm-up room as Chell, you know, mm-hmm. and we're back there. And, you know, he was joking around with us and stuff. And, I sat right by his family and them too during the fight, so
mm-hmm.
You know, it kind of gave me like a little bit of a soft spot for him. I guess I was pulling for him in that fight, but
it's always weird sitting by a fighter's family.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friend once sat by Scott Smith's family at a Strikeforce card.
Yeah,
he's getting the shit beat out of him, and his family was just like bawling and sobbing uncontrollably.
No.
He didn't know what to do.
Oh man,
I sat that by. Sucks. I think I've said it on this podcast. I sat by Steven Seiler's wife one fight he had with
really?
Titan, and she's screaming at the ref like, "You're ruining my husband's career, you fat cow!" I was just like, "Wow." I need to get up and move. This is weird.
Yeah, it's intense, man. Like, honestly, I'm kind of excited about the aspect of not fighting here because of that. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love my family and my friends and stuff. But that's a lot more pressure, I think,
totally.
Fighting at home than it mm-hmm. is away. Like, okay, these people don't know me. I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
Right?
It's less personal.
So, exactly.
It's less personal. Like, when you fought... when you fought at Prime against The kid, who was the kid? The kid who was mama's boy?
Joey Parodi or something.
Yeah, like Joey Parodi. When you fought against him, his dad was in the crowd and like screaming at you and stuff.
His dad's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, but like that kind of thing is not going to happen. Or is going to be less likely to happen in those instances because you're not Northwest specific area fight. They're not going to get those seats right up front like that.
So after that fight, I get choked unconscious, right? And I wake up, which is whatever. And his dad's like yelling at me, and I'm like still kind of like, what? Like, what's going on? And like, he's yelling, and like, I look at him, I'm like, what the fuck is that guy saying? And like, he was just talking shit, like saying something to me. And like,
he was right behind me.
Was he? Yeah. And I was like, what? Like, he was mad at me about something. I don't know. Like saying like, oh, this dude for talking shit. I don't recall talking any shit on Joey. First off, like I maybe said like, oh, he has a stupid mustache, because he does. Fuck that mustache. I don't care. It's dumb.
Well, worst case scenario, man, you're selling a fight. It's a fight.
Yeah. That's another thing too, that like with this whole pullout thing where everyone's like, oh, you know, he's afraid or this and that. I've been beaten up before. I've lost fights. I'm not afraid to get an ass kick. Like, I'll be the first one to admit, like, if you ask me anytime, like a training session with someone, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy fucked me up. Like, we talked about Kevin Lee. I'm like, yeah, Kevin Lee fucked me up. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, you know, like, went over and, you know, I lost. I did, like, hey, congratulations. And, you know, I'll take my loss like a man. So.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's a sport. Yeah. But, well, let's transition. You just mentioned Kevin Lee.
Yeah.
Kevin Lee just fought at UFC 216, fought Tony Ferguson for the interim UFC lightweight title. Your boy Kevin Lee coming up a little short in that fight.
He looked good, though.
He looked good for a dude with a staph infection. Who cut like 20 pounds the day before.
Yep. Yeah, he's a freak,
what
man.
What was he thinking? Like, so with for anyone who didn't see this fight, at UFC 216, Kevin Lee is a pretty highly touted prospect. Well, I don't even want to call him a prospect. He's a contender, right?
Obviously,
he's a contender, yeah. But you know, he goes into this fight coming off of his best win to date against Michael Chiesa, where early on in that fight, he put himself in some bad positions. But athletically, people thought, okay, he'll be able to hold his own against a guy like Tony Ferguson, who is awkward, a good wrestler, good at jiu-jitsu, decent striker, heavy-handed, you know. But people thought Kevin Lee is an explosive athlete and is gonna do great. But the day before this fight, it comes out that he still has to cut like 18 pounds.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Like, so you're about to have the fight of your life. You are given the opportunity that 100 other guys are chomping at the bit for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really going to go in there and you're going to wait and you're going to cut 18 pounds in one day?
Well,
why would you do that to yourself, man? Like, why would you do that?
I feel like that's... I want to say it's taken out of context. I feel like that's his normal routine.
There's no way that's his normal routine, dude.
I think so, because if you listen to him when he was going over interviews, he kind of goes, yeah, like he had a little bit harder time getting off the last few pounds. But like just being around him, like he's a solid dude. Like he has, you know, very little body fat at all, if any. So he walks around. Like when I trained with him, he was like 195.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's like 190, 195.
Wow, that's really big.
Exactly. Like, I mean, all of us are like, that's just what we... I mean, look at Brent. Brent's fucking... He gets up to like 210, you know?
That's crazy.
He's a big boy. And these weight classes fucking suck, man. We need to add, like... Maybe that's why Kevin Lee was, you know, so harping on, like, tweeting about, like, you know, when are you guys going to add another weight class? But I definitely think that staff didn't help him. Stuff, you know, having a staph infection, having to cut weight, I could not imagine.
Well, the other thing is, okay, look, man, like you're on a card with another champion.
Uh-huh.
And I understand that this is an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
But if ever there was a good reason to back out of a fight, it's a fucking staph infection.
Yeah.
So if you watch this fight, Kevin Lee had a weird mark on his chest that people suspect was a staph infection.
Yeah.
That's what many were led to believe. I have not read a report that confirmed that, but I honestly haven't looked into it. But so he has a staph infection.
Yeah, it was like, confirmed.
Like that is not something you should take lightly. That can kill you.
Yeah. first off, I want to know what was Tony's thought. Like, cause like, I know like the way my mind is, like if I would have saw that on a chest, I'm like, you fucking kidding me right now? I gotta go. Right? You're gonna give me staff right now. I'm gonna win a championship and walk away with staff. Thanks, buddy.
Right. Like, Tony Ferguson goes in the back, immediately finds every bar of defense soap he can find, and he just gets people to start washing him. Like, get my back, bro. Get my back.
Did he do that? Or?
I don't know. Oh, that's what I would have done. I would have been losing my mind.
Oh, I thought staff infection. I thought you were hearing like, oh, that he instantly was like showering.
No, I'm sure he did go shower and use plenty of defense soap. I mean,
hopefully.
If he's smart, he did. Like, for sure. Yeah. You know, but like, That's a legit reason to pull out of a card. Mm-hmm. Like even if it's the week before, man, that's a staph infection. Like you're not going to be at your peak performance. There's no way your body's going to be fighting an intense infection that could literally kill you.
The antibiotics are the worst too,
dude. And you're talking to a person who's taken some pretty intense antibiotics.
Yeah.
So I've been on long doses of a strong antibiotic called Cipro. Mm-hmm. And it's really not a great thing to take. Like, you have to avoid the sun. You can have spontaneous tendon ruptures. It's fucked up. And I've had
tendon ruptures.
Yeah. Yeah. It's happened to me twice where I've ruptured a tendon on it. The minor. But like once on my honeymoon and once at work across my knee.
How long were you on it for?
Like, so each run I've done has been 30 days or longer. Like
each run, you've done it multiple times. I've
done it 3 times. It's bad. Wow. So like I get it, man. Like, antibiotics can fuck you up.
Yeah, they're no joke.
But they're there for a reason, and you have to take them all the way out.
Yeah.
Like, why are you fighting that fight, man? Like if you want to see what a staph infection can do to someone, Google Kevin Randleman staph infection, and you will see a literal hole in this dude's side that goes into his body.
It's because gnarly.
They had to scoop away like a baseball size hunk of flesh out of him, because otherwise it would have killed him. You know, unfortunately, Kevin Randleman passed away last year, unexpectedly.
Yeah.
But like, he was fucking lucky to be alive after a staph infection that bad. And you know, and for Kevin Lee, this is like on your chest, man. Like who knows,
right? By his fucking
right
heart.
By your heart. Like, who knows, dude? Like, like, you got to take care of yourself, man. And like, well, Mighty Mouse should have been the main event anyway on that card.
Yeah.
Like, you know, give the man respect. Like, he should have been at the top anyway.
Oh yeah.
But like, I just don't understand. Like, if you have a staph infection and you have a title fight, why are you going to cut 20 pounds in a day? Like, why are you going to do all these things? And he is fortunate enough that the doctor let him cut the remaining pound, because the first time he got on the scale, he was off by a pound.
Yep.
Like, it just blows my mind, man.
This is the thing though, dude. Like, as a fighter, these opportunities don't come very often. You know, you got to take your chance. I mean, okay, think about it this way. If he would have pulled out of that fight, right? Who pulled the same thing just happened with, well, not the same thing, but Khabib had to pull out the week of, right? Well, now he's lost that opportunity.
No, they tried to give him that fight again, and he didn't want the fight.
Oh, did they? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's why they gave it to Kevin Lee, because
well, then maybe he thought like, oh, this is
because Nermi wasn't going to take that spot because the dude's perpetually injured. But there's no other fight for him but a title, right? And the UFC has tried multiple times to give him a title shot.
Yeah.
Like, homeboy just needs to retire or fight injured, like one or the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's, like, nobody fights at 100%. I don't think it's ever happened. But like I get it. The opportunities are few and far between. But if you're so talented that...
And
that,
money too, man.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
I think that's probably more the thing is money, because you win the UFC title and now you get more when you fight.
Well, but he probably, you know, from what I know, he lives like in a... I think he lives in an apartment with his brother. Kevin Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you just fought for a world title and you still live, like, you have a roommate in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should have a house by now. You should be living pretty comfortably.
Liz Carmouche fought Ronda Rousey for the, you know, the first ever UFC women's title. And it was, you know, she didn't even have furniture in her apartment, and someone furnished her apartment. I mean, but that's part of the problem that we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Is, you know, this is not at the same level as the NBA or soccer or baseball or any
fucking
of those other sports.
Boxing shit.
Well, actually, but go look at boxing undercards.
That's
man.
What
those
people.
Guys
that's
don't
what
make
everyone
a lot
says.
Of money, man. It's the dudes at the top who make the money.
But also look at MMA's undercards. Okay, so like everyone goes, well, MMA guys, you know, undercards, they make more or something. It's not true, because like, every fighter regionally, like, well, most that I know, want to do a boxing match. Why? Because you're going to get paid more at a smaller show than you are at a smaller show here.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
But we're not talking about a lot more, because this is a point
it's
when...
It's still
more. Yeah, I know, but it's at a point in your career when making $1,000 or making $3,000 is a big deal.
Exactly.
And you're really, I mean, in terms of talking about like real big mm-hmm. money, we're not talking about huge money. We're not talking about that $10,000 or $15,000 jump we were talking about before. Yeah. That doesn't exist yet, right? So instead of fighting for, you know, prime and making, you know, let's say they give you, you know, $1,500 to show and they give you $1,500 to win and uh-huh. you make $3,000. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I'm just pulling that number out of the air, but like, you know, and then you go to a boxing match and they're going to pay you two to show and two to win.
Well, boxing, you're going to get a flat rate.
Okay. Flat rate. So they're going to pay you $5,000. Let's say they're going to pay you $5,000.
I feel like MMA should get away with that.
Yeah,
I think that's so fucking dumb. I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, stupid. You're gonna make $10,000, but you might make an extra $10,000 if you win. So it's like, fuck. All right. So you got this added pressure on it. Now you gotta.
Well, and that's why dudes do use steroids.
Exactly. Like, there's a lot of reasons why people do what they do in MMA, because there's these weird, like, stipulations. Like, it mm-hmm. shouldn't be that way. Like, it should be, okay, you're gonna fight, we're gonna pay you out flat front. Like, I honestly. Like, say I'm making, you know, 15 a show, 15 a win, right? I would take a flat out just, I'd rather get paid 20,000 flat out than it would to be, you could possibly make 15, you could maybe make 30. I'd rather have it just flat out so I know what I'm going to get into. I know what I'm going
to
have.
But there
regardless.
Has to be a bonus structure, right? Because the people who are performing better need to make more money.
Yeah, there can be a bonus, as in like fight of the nights, submission of the nights. Those are great.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is not just the fight of the night, submission of the night. Like, every fighter who's performing at a higher level,
uh-huh.
they deserve something for that. Like, you need to be compensated for that. And they're only going to pick, say they're only going to pick two fights on a card to get bonuses to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it might be a fight with, it might be a card with 18 fights
okay.
and only two fighters out of 36 fighters get a bonus. And what if, you know, what if 10 guys performed exceedingly well? Like, all of those guys deserve a bonus. And back in the day, there were these, like, you know, locker room bonuses, quote unquote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's that.
But there should be something structured, like, okay, like, fine, if you don't want to do like a this to show, this to win, like, if you win by knockout, submission, or, you know, something else, like, mm-hmm. you know, if you win in some sort of dramatic fashion, you additionally get, you know, another like 10% pay or something. I mean, there's got to be something, because those flat rates hurt the people who are performing high, because the people
but
who
does
are
it
underperforming.
Though? I don't think it does, because it's your contract. You're working out your contract,
yeah, I guess.
Right? So regardless, that's your pay. It's your contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, because regardless, I don't think anyone who's fighting is going to change just because of, oh, okay. Like, I know personally for me, okay, just because there's an extra, you know, $10,000 waiting for me if I win, now I'm going to go balls to the wall? No. If anything, that's going to make someone fight less, you know, more reserved. Because now you're just thinking, I just need a win.
Yeah, safe win.
Safe win, right?
Yeah, but not everyone is as sadistic as you, and some people don't like getting in a war.
But you know what I'm saying, though? That's what I mean. Like, I think, because like, I've heard the argument where, like, well, you know, when you promise them extra money from a win, it's mm-hmm. going to make them want to fight harder. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, you get that GSP syndrome where you go from being one of the most exciting fighters in the world to being a fighter that people are just like, eh,
now you're grinding out
that.
these decisions and you're playing it safe. And
but you know what's funny? If we talk about someone who did the exact opposite, we talk about Mighty Mouse, who was also on that last mm-hmm. UFC card.
Yeah, and he went out there and finished him.
Who
right?
has, not only did he finish him, but I here's a guy in Mighty Mouse who... So, if you don't know, Mighty Mouse got his 11th consecutive UFC title defense at UFC 216 when he fought Ray Borg, basically the last man standing in his division.
Yeah.
And Mighty Mouse has gone from fights that were close to fights that are not even close. And he's been finishing fights like crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, early on, he suffered some criticism for being kind of bored. Or not bored, boring.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And now, when he fights, people expect a finish or an incredibly dominant performance. And he's done quite the opposite, you know. So I guess he would be the example that you would look for, right? In a fighter who wants to perform better and get paid for it, I guess.
Well, I think his thing is just he's just that good, for one. Two, I think it's a matter of he wants that respect, because he's not getting that respect that he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't make as much as some of these other UFC fighters who are doing the safe route for wins or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think he's showing like, look, I'm fucking these dudes up and I'm finishing them. Like, let's market me, do something. Like the UFC has to push him harder. I don't think they're pushing him at all. You know, I don't think they're, I don't know what it is. Something about smaller weights that people don't like. I don't get it.
Yeah. You know, so I wrote an article about Mighty Mouse after that win, not realizing I didn't have one due, and I decided not to.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hold out on it. But you know, Mighty Mouse took some criticism for being being a person who did not take the big fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're talking about the TJ fight.
The TJ fight. So yeah. He doesn't take the TJ fight, but what he did do was. He knew that he needed that 11th win,
mm-hmm.
right? So for Mighty Mouse, he continued to get little respect, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
And Dana White and people behind the scenes at the UFC continue to not promote him in a way that is favorable for him, that would put him in a better position. And I've talked about it before. If you want to promote Mighty Mouse, you put him on a card with Conor McGregor. Have him be the fight before Conor McGregor. You know, if you want to see what a dominant fighter is, you can watch Mighty Mouse and then watch the Conor McGregor fight for fun.
Yeah.
And Conor McGregor is great, but he is nowhere near the champion that Demetrius Johnson is. Not even close.
I don't think that anyone is quite the champion Mighty Mouse is, you know?
No, I don't think anyone, even comes close. So I wrote this thing, and this is what I said. I said, the same people that criticize Johnson, they need to realize that he needed the 11th defense to put himself in position to finally get the respect he deserves. The 11th defense against the last man standing in the division, now void of challengers. The 11th defense, which he put on the greatest performance to date in his career, unleashed a submission that left millions in awe of his skill. Johnson played the game better than anyone will give him credit for. Today, he sits atop the UFC pound-for-pound rankings for the first time ever, you know, after fighters like John Jones faded away, and mm-hmm. it's clear that he now wears the crown. You know, what's next for Johnson? I think whatever he wants.
Yeah.
You know, whatever he wants to do. But that 11th defense was so important. People don't realize that the stupid, arbitrary UFC ranking system mm-hmm. that puts him as pound for pound number one
yeah.
actually means something. People yeah. see that little box and it means something.
Yeah.
It forces Dana White to recognize Mighty Mouse as the pound for pound best fighter on the planet.
Yeah.
It forces his hand. It forces the UFC's hand. If they are claiming on their website that he's the best fighter in the world, they need to promote him like the best fighter in the world because yeah. he is the best fighter in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you did not see the Mighty Mouse fight against Ray Borg, go watch it, because it is a masterful performance. He landed 79% of his significant strikes.
Yeah, wasn't just, like one round, like the dude only landed like one punch or something.
Dude, the numbers are completely insane. The numbers in that fight were completely insane. So just to put it in perspective, 79% is like, it's like 6% higher than the highest significant strike landing average. So mm-hmm. Alistair Overeem has like 73% of his significant strikes landed in his UFC career.
Uh-huh.
And that is already over 10% higher than the guy at number two.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
most of the top guys are in the low 60% range.
Mm-hmm.
This dude landed 80%.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Of his total strikes landed, he landed like 72%.
Yeah.
And he outstruck him like 172-20.
Yeah.
It was fucking crazy. Insane. And then to top it all off, He throws a submission that I've never seen. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of a dude trying that. I've heard of flying arm bars, and I've seen them, and I've seen flying triangles. Yeah. Have you ever seen someone suplex somebody? You know, I mean, this isn't the textbook suplex, so I'm not going to say it was like great form or whatever. But he picks the dude up, throws him, and then moves to the side and throws up an arm bar?
Yeah.
Have you ever even heard of anyone doing that?
Actually, I've seen people train that. I know. It's like one of those ones, like when it happened, I was like, oh yeah, I've seen people do that. Like, it's one of those things people try in the gym, but they don't try it in a fucking fight, you know?
Yeah,
like, that's crazy. You know the confidence you have to do that? Just to be able to slow down time and to think, all right, I'm going to pick this fucking guy up. I'm going to scoop up his arm like this. And I'm going to, you know, like, it's a set out thing. Like, it's planned. Like, he planned to do that. Like, it wasn't just a, oh, I just happened to catch his arm. No, that was a thought out, like, I'm going to go for this. You know?
Yeah, man. And not only did he plan it, after the fight, he says, oh, I've been hitting that in training all the time.
Yeah, what? Exactly. It's like one of those things. Like, there's... You know, people are gonna be trying it now. Like, you know, that's the next thing. Like, after I saw that, I was like, I gotta go in the gym. I gotta try that. Like, yeah. I gotta attempt it now. It was just like when Machida first landed that, or I guess Anderson Silva landed it first, the front kick.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see people started everybody throwing the snap kick and yeah. So it's what's great about MMA, man. It's ever evolving. You know.
Yeah, totally, man. But I mean, so go watch that highlight if you haven't seen it. What I thought was crazy was he did that and he's had his back against the cage. Mm-hmm. Like to have the confidence that you would have the space to get that armbar is crazy. And big ups to Ray Borg for not tapping earlier, because that shit looked fucked up.
Yeah.
That looked bad.
He was fighting it. But, I mean, it was kind of... Yeah, the fight was done. Like,
yeah, no. The fight was over. I mean, you're not going to win the fight.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But, man, like, he didn't even... Like... I'm sure he didn't expect to have that bad of a performance.
No, I wonder how he feels, like, sitting there like, fuck, like, that was the worst beating. Like, I think Demetrius has given anyone. Who's that Asian guy that he submitted with the 1 second left in the whole fight?
Oh, Hiraguchi.
What
is his last name? Did I just say that wrong? Hold on. What's it?
I think it's Hiraguchi.
Horiguchi.
Horiguchi.
Yeah, it was Horiguchi. All right. So I was close. Yeah, I mean, he beat him pretty bad. I think he beat the brakes off of Wilson Hayes. Like, that fight.
Wilson Hayes, that was, the one right before this one. Yeah. At number 10. So, like, rough. Yeah, he's just getting fucking better, man.
Yeah.
He submitted a guy that they were just saying, like, oh, Johnson needs to watch out for his... Da, da. And then he goes out there, he's like, oh, that's cute. Check this shit out.
Yeah.
Oh, you've never been submitted before? Well, now you have.
Yeah, welcome to the cage with the number one fighter.
It's nuts. World. It is fucking nuts. And he's just like this geeky dude who likes video games. And, yeah. You know.
But you know, getting the 11th win, or getting the 11th title defense, I should say, not win. You know, getting his 11th title defense, getting that record, I think puts him in a better position to pick the fight he wants for the money fights.
Yeah.
You know, I expect that he would have accepted the fight against TJ Dillashaw had the UFC gone to him and said, hey, man, we have this idea. TJ needs an opponent. You're kind of free. It would make a lot of money. We want to pay you. Here's what we'll give you, a little extra on the side. Yeah. If they had gone to him and said that, I bet you he would have taken it. But he heard about that fight booking secondhand and was like, nobody came to me and talked about it.
Yeah, and that, I think that's like,
that's
the
problem. That's the problem. People think he was just being like I don't know what people think, but you know, you read it online, you read what people have said, and they say, oh, you know, he's ducking and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
he just cares about the record. But that's my point. That like the little bit of my article that I read poorly out loud because I'm terrible at reading aloud. Yeah. That was my point. It was that he needed that win to prove that he has, you know, he is the top. This is the bar.
It is set. Yeah.
Good luck getting there.
Yeah.
John Jones obviously does not mentally have what it takes to get there.
Mm-mm.
You know, Daniel Cormier is too old and has an opponent that he has not been able to best in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just not it's just not going to happen for anyone else. I mean, Anderson Silva was, you know, Anderson Silva was a dominant champion, exciting fighter, and then got all weird towards the end, and his fights weren't as exciting, and they were kind of different, you know, and it cost him his title. In the end, it cost him his title, and he was getting up there in age. Mighty Mouse is 31.
Is he really only 31?
Dude.
Oh, man.
This guy could fight 5-6 more years and not really lose a whole lot.
Anderson Silva was a champion for 7 years. Demetrius has been champion for how long now? Yeah, it's not 7 years. At least 3, right? When
they had that tournament back in 2012. So he's been the champion
four?
5 years, 5 years or so.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, fuck, dude. Who knows how long? I mean, there's boxing champions who would go on, you know, 20 fights, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I guess that could be a thing. Like,
yeah,
just...
I guess, man. But people complain about Mighty Mouse fighting easy fights. And in boxing, they didn't care if you threw a can in there against Mike Tyson.
That's the thing,
they wanted
though.
To see Mike Tyson.
They say it's an easy fight. I don't think they're easy fights.
No, I don't think they're easy fights. Good. But, yeah, I agree. I agree.
Well, and it kind of brings us full circle because one of the things that Demetrius was complaining about and why he didn't take the TJ fights because he wanted guaranteed money. He wanted guaranteed extra. He's like, if he misses weight, I want to be compensated. And the UFC was like, no. Like, you'll get your show money. He's like, no, I want to be fully compensated. He's like, just input that in there where I get paid my show and fight money and win money. And the UFC's like, no, fuck that. So he's like, all right, then I'm not doing it. He's like, because he's never made the weight, so prove to me he can make the weight, then we'll do this. Because I don't think he's afraid to fight TJ. I think he fucks TJ up.
He's not afraid to fight TJ, but, you know, the only fighter who's given him any trouble, really, in his career,
is
like
someone with that style.
Is a similar style fighter in Dominic Cruz, who has a similar build to TJ. Although, in talking to Uriah Faber... told me that he knows that TJ can make 125, or at least he used to be able to make 125
really?
When he was at their gym. Yeah. Wow. Faber said, you know, he can make it. He used to be able to make it. I don't know if he still can. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of implied, oh, maybe he can't make it anymore because maybe he's enhanced. But
he said that a couple times.
Yeah, yeah. But,
yeah.
You know, coming from a guy like Uriah Faber, who's like this freak athlete. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, man.
I mean, it's...
You know, it is what it is, but
there's rumors.
I still would like to see him fight TJ Dillashaw or someone like that.
I would like for him to go up and beat up Cody.
I would love to see
you know what?
That.
I would like Cody to come down because...
Yeah,
drops down to 125, I think that's going to hamper him more than he thinks.
Maybe.
And I think that goes into Demetrius' favor.
Yeah, maybe.
Where when he was fighting at 135, like, yeah, he was undersized. Like, he was good, of course. I remember watching that Dominic fight because I didn't know who Demetrius Johnson was when he fought Dominic, and it was like he held his own. I mean, Dominic was able to grab him though, it was that strength, and he started throwing him, started doing these throws. So
yeah, but Mighty Mouse is better now than he was before.
Oh my God.
I expect that would be a completely different fight. I mean, you look at Dominic Cruz, and I don't want to say he's a shell of his former self, but to watch Cody Garbrandt beat the brakes off him the way he did,
do you really think he beat the brakes off of him, though?
Dude,
I don't
think
so.
Did you see that fight?
I did.
Man, he put it on him.
In the later rounds. Like, yeah, he dropped him.
But that's where it happens, man.
But then what else
I don't know, man. He just looked crisper. His footwork looked better.
I think he was just a little bit more showy.
No, I think that...
I don't know, man.
One of these days,
me and you need to sit down and go over some fights. Because, like, different... Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, but what I'm looking at in that fight, and this is what I've watched that fight probably 3 or 4 times, and I go back and I watch the fight, and I don't think Dominic had a terrible performance.
Yeah.
But what happened, in my opinion, what happened to Dominic is people have figured out his movement. Because before it was erratic and no one could figure out like when he was going to throw a punch, moving at what angle. But at this point, he does the same moves.
Really?
He's not developing new movement. He's using the same movement in every fight. And so Cody knew when he was going to throw a hook off of a step right or you know, vice versa or whatever. And so he was able to avoid a lot of those shots. I mean, yeah, he took some punches, but like classic footwork, Cody had him bested.
Yeah.
And Cody was able to to decipher when he was going to make those weird movements that other people couldn't figure out, because he was hitting Dom, where you go and you watch like Uriah fight him, and Uriah was like swing and miss, you know. I mean, he hit him more times than people give him credit for, but there were swings.
I thought
and
Uriah won the second fight.
It's been so long since I've watched it. I don't want to say, like, and I feel Dom like I was biased because I just Dominic Cruz rubs me the wrong way.
Okay,
but at this point in his career, I don't hate him or anything. Like,
I thought Dom beat Cody, which is, I know, is not a popular opinion, but I see what I go off of is, I don't just always consider like, oh, the guy just landed one big punch. Like, if you look at the stats, I think Dom won. I thought he won 3 out of the 5 rounds. Because there was a couple close rounds, but
yeah, you know. I guess, man. But there's something to those close rounds where you have to look at more than just like, okay, who outlanded who. You have to look at who did more damage. You have to look at who was in control more, who was moving forward more, who was on the defensive more, and those kind of things play in. So like if we go back to this Demetrius Johnson Ray Borg fight, the very beginning of that fight, Ray Borg is moving forward because he knows that to beat Demetrius Johnson, he has to be moving forward because he's not going to beat him moving backwards. But the minute he starts doing that, that strategy goes out the window because Mighty Mouse starts landing these monster leg kicks, right? These monster inside leg kicks. And now the judge says, okay, at this guy's best moving forward, he's getting outstruck. And that's what now the judge sitting there sees that. And they have to realize that even though Ray Borg at one point a couple times got Mighty Mouse down, in his best moment defensively, Mighty Mouse was better than Ray Borg was offensively. He got back up and landed a punch on the escape.
Yeah.
You know, or landed a knee on the escape.
And a lot of judges don't look at that too, though.
A lot of them don't, but you have to assume, you have to assume that. I guess you don't have to assume. I don't want to apply that as a blanket statement, but the way I look at it is I assume that those minute things that the average watcher is not seeing is what the judge is trying to see.
Yeah.
So like if Dave Hagen, fucking Dave smart. Hagen was a judge at that last UFC. Dave Hagen, local referee here in Portland, refs tons of fights here. Also is the man in the cage at Submission Underground events. You know, he was there judging, and I trust Dave Hagen's opinion.
Yeah, me too.
He's an educated judge, you know, and I watch judges get trained here in Oregon at FCFF events, and they're sitting down with people who know what they're doing. I mean, it doesn't mean everyone knows what they're doing. You know, if Cecil Peoples is a judge, you've damn well better finish a fight because
you know the judge's name. That's usually a bad thing. The reason why we know Dave is because he's a local guy.
Yeah. But Cecil Peoples, you know him because, you know, oh, he got knocked down 6 times, 29-28. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's how he scores it. Or Adelaide Bird, like, take her license away. Get
that
rid of her.
Chick.
You know, but like, what? You know, whatever. I mean, there's going to be a handful, but who knows?
What are you gonna do?
But we can agree that Mighty Mouse is the best fighter on the goddamn planet.
Goddamn.
Nobody
best.
Is better. He's a Northwest guy.
Exactly. That's what I was going
to
say.
And all you young fighters who are trying to figure out who you want to go train with and you can't figure it out, if you don't feel like you're a good fit at a gym in Portland, why don't you consider going up to Seattle, man? Mighty Mouse is right up the road.
It's hard to get in there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, man. But like, you got to knock on the door. We talked about it earlier. Manifest destiny, man. Get in there. Go be with Matt Hume. Try to get in there. Try to train with that guy. I mean, you know?
The move.
Yeah, if you want to train jiu-jitsu up there, you know who's up there? Ivan Salivary.
Yeah.
Ivan Salivary is the man. For all you Young Fight fans who don't know who Ivan Salivary is, Ivan Salivary made the body triangle, in the UFC very popular. And for a time, they didn't even call it the body triangle. They called it the fucking Salivary.
Right?
That shit was awesome. And he submitted Tony Fricklin with a body triangle. Yeah. He body triangled him from the back, had him on his stomach, and used so much hip pressure that Tony Fricklin had to tap because it hurt his back so bad. So go train with him.
there's a fun fact of the day.
That's right. I hear he's like, I hear he's a little like punch drunk. That's what I heard from,
really?
Yeah, from one of his former students. I was talking to him and he was like, yeah, you know, if you want to interview him, go ahead. But he's a little bit like old fighter punch drunk kind of.
Oh, shit.
Like,
no,
really?
No.
I would not expect that of him. But yeah. Yeah. So
I mean, that's our cold reality. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, man.
So yeah, well, you
that's
know.
That's a bummer way to kind of wrap this up.
Well, I was looking at your scar in your eye and I was like, Jake needs to be reminded.
Like
that
10 years from now, like when this podcast is mega, like you have me back on, I'm like, you did Bellator, like, you know, be like Simple Jack or something.
Yeah. we'll come on and we'll draw pictures and stuff.
It'll there be, we go. Well, you know,
point and click. Yeah. That'll be what it is.
Exactly.
But all right, man. Well, I think that about covers it. We've been going for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You know, I just want to plug my new project and we're going Triggered Happy. So look for that on YouTube. Should have a reaction video tonight going over some political shit and hopefully you guys get triggered and get upset at me. So.
Fun. All right. Yeah. Check that out. Look for Jake on a Bellator MMA card near you soon, hopefully. And like I always say, guys, there's a lot of great fights out there. I know it can be hard to pick just one, but think about it. What's your favorite fight?